Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And we are coming to the end of the conversation that we've been having with Pastor Michael Musagwiza. And today we're talking participating in God's plan. We've been on this conversation since Monday. It's been such a blessing. And I hope that you've been tuned in. If not, make sure that you check out these conversations on our podcast. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome back one more time to Live on Adventist World Radio. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Always good afternoon and happy preparation day.
Happy preparation day to you too, Pastor. We are concluding our conversation that we've been having this week. And, you know, we've already learned that angels and demons remind us that we are part of a larger spiritual story. And while angels carry out God's will and demons oppose it, as Christians, we know that we also have a role to play in advancing the kingdom of God. So today we'll be discussing how exactly we do that, how we fulfill that role faithfully. So, Pastor, what does the Bible tell us about humanity's role in this spiritual battle?
Okay, first and foremost, we gather that that war between good and evil, between God and Satan, is a war within. It's intrapersonal.
Okay.
It's an intrapersonal war in one person. And, you know, no one can say that I'm not involved in that war.
Hey.
By virtue of being on this planet Earth, then that war is being waged within you.
Mm.
And situations actually that befall us, they do present opportunities for us to show the allegiance, where we put our allegiance, whether we belong to God, whether we belong to Devils United. You know, it's a war between God's God's team and the Devils United.
Yeah.
So any situation, be it a good or a bad one, it presents you an opportunity to show which side you belong to. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be a loss of a job at the end of the day. What you do after having lost that job, it's your opportunity to show which side you belong to.
Hey.
You know, everything that happens on this planet, at my prayer, is that it should be interpreted according to where Jesus is and what he's seeking to accomplish right now, you know. And so the Bible is awash with the verses such as Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. So that is our role as humans in the spiritual battle. We are urged to always watch and pray, lest we fall into temptations. James 4:7-8, the Bible says, submit ye therefore to God, resist the devil, and the devil flee away from you. So in this war, where we are being involved in, our role is to submit.
Mm-hmm.
Submit to God always, and to resist the evil. Because the devil fights, the machinations of the devil are always to urge us to commit evil.
Yeah.
To do things that are contrary to the will of God. And on the other side, God speaks to us to do good in a still small voice. Well, verses like Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In this spiritual battle, besides submitting, besides watching and praying, it is to come to Jesus, to always press on to Jesus. You know, burdened and weary, we may be because of sins. We still need to go to Jesus to carry his cross always. What does it mean to carry his cross? It means to carry responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Responsibilities that he renders to us to do, to accomplish his mission on earth.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to partner with us to manage his affairs on earth. And as we partner with him, the Bible promises us in the Great Commission, 28:20b of Matthew, that behold, I'm with you always. So we can only be with Jesus when we partner with him to manage his affairs on earth. Romans 10:9 also is what the Bible says about humanity's role in the spiritual battle. Because it says, if you believe, then all these things will be done unto you. So our role also is to believe, to believe that God can. God can, God is able, and is very much capable.
Beautiful. I think what I pick up from, one interesting thing that I pick up from what you've just shared is that when we're thinking about our role, a lot of it, I don't even know if I should say it's mostly defensive, but I like that we are called on to focus our attention on God. So submit to God.
True.
remain in prayer to
Very
God.
True.
Everything. So we're not even, don't even pay attention to the devil. Just resist the devil, but put your attention on God. Focus on him. And then he fights for you. He's the one who deals with the rest. And I think that that simplifies it so much, because I think a lot of us think, oh, I must burn incense and I must do this and I must call on my dead grandmother and I must do all these things. And all those things are so unnecessary and so complicated and costly. And yet we're given this free and simple option, which is just focus your attention on God.
Very simple. Very simple. God even demonstrated it in the wilderness, remember, when they were beaten by those fiery serpents.
Yes.
The instruction was very simple. It was just to look up to the bronze serpent. To look up just to the bronze serpent, you know. And whoever looked, the Bible says whoever looked was healed. So it's very, very, very simple. Very, very simple. God has made his way of saving people to be a very simple ways that can only be accepted by faith. There are ways that cannot be measured mathematically, scientifically, geographically, whatever. There are things that can only be accepted and be done by faith. You know, there are things that look stupid in the philosophical eyes.
Right.
But they are so stupid in order to be accepted by faith. You know, because how can you explain parting the Red Sea by just pointing by a stick?
Hey.
How can you explain water to be given in a wilderness from the rock by simply hitting the rock? You know, things of God, they may appear stupid, but the reason for them to appear stupid so that they cannot be measured, so that they can be accepted by faith.
Sure.
You know, filling up vessels, empty vessels with the water, for the purpose of that water to become wine. It cannot be proven, it cannot be explained mathematically or scientifically, but it can only be explained by faith. So simple God's ways of salvation, but that have to be accepted by faith. It cannot be measured by means, by logic. Can't be measured by logic. So by trusting in God, by looking up, we become saved. Not through means and ways of people, but by simply submitting, by simply believing, by simply coming and watching and pressing hard upon God.
Amen. So how do we align ourselves then with God's will in the face of spiritual opposition?
We become Christ by being so eager to become Christ-like.
Okay.
You know, we become Christ-like when you follow Christ's example of doing the will of God. You know, some of the most important decisions that we make in life, they are decisions that actually affect others. And so in everything that we do, we always ought to exemplify Christ.
Yeah.
When we exemplify Christ, then we are aligning with God. You know, we are aligning ourselves with God's will. In the face of spiritual opposition, we need to realize as Christians every time we encounter matters of life, we need to always declare that not by my will, but by God's will. You know, Christians ought to sing a song every day. Something in the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life!
Amen.
You know, that realization is an acknowledgement, is an urge to align ourselves with God's will even in the face of spiritual opposition.
Right.
You know, no, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back.
Whatever
before us is the cross, and so behind us should be the world, you know. And it should be in us that he take the world, but give us Jesus.
Amen.
So that we align with God. God always desires that we be his stewards. What is a steward? A steward is one who partners with God to manage his affairs on earth. So when we partner with God, that's when we learn more about God. So we align with God as we partake in his work.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And now, what lessons do angelic... what lessons do we learn from angelic obedience? What do they teach us about serving God?
The series of angels that never fail.
Mm-hmm.
that are saving in heaven right now.
Right.
And the one third that disobeyed and were charged out from heaven,
mm-hmm.
we learn from them that there is a power that is given in obedience. You know, when you are obedient to God, then God rewards you by everything that he promises.
Mm.
Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but what? To trust and obey. So for the angels that obeyed, they are living the glorious life of saving, of partnering with God. Likewise, when we partner with God, when you obey God, God promises in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 to 16. He says, look, I have set before you life and death, depending on whether you obey or disobey. So the angelic obedience teach us a lot about saving God, that we can only save God when we obey God. And obeying God is our best interest, should be our best interest. Where man threatens, we rather obey God than man. Because when we obey God, we live the life that God desires for us to live.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. And I think it comes from knowing that God has your best intentions at heart. I think when you don't know God, that's what makes it scary to obey. And that makes us hesitate.
For sure.
We don't really know, what will happen if I lose this job because of refusing to work on a Sabbath. And so I think, let me just work out. It's better to pray for forgiveness later. But when you know God, when you have that personal relationship with God, and you know that he would never ask you to do something which is going to hurt you, ultimately, he's going to provide for you. Even if you do lose that job, like you said earlier, when we follow the example of Christ, where whatever is happening in my life, whether it's good or bad or difficult, if my goal is not to be comfortable, my goal is not my own convenience, my goal is for God's name to be glorified in my life. And like you're saying,
just
from looking at the angels and what they're experiencing now, I cannot wait until we can join them because, Pastor, we're tired. Mm. We are tired.
For sure. So, and heaven is going to be worth it all.
It's going to be worth it. I believe that. So how does understanding spiritual warfare influence our daily prayers?
By and large, I think we can almost summarize what we learned throughout the week. And that actually summarizes what we believe in, that we believe that we are today living in the closing days of this earth's history. And that the warfare between God and the Satan, between good and evil, the warfare is going to actually, it will intensify to an unprecedented degree as this age's long conflict draws to its close. Now, because these supernatural forces of good and evil operate outside the range of human knowledge and control, their nature and the modus operandi, their mode of operation, are not always clear and understandable. We have already established that one. That when you are dealing with the demons, when you are dealing with angels, we are dealing with the beings whose operations, whose nature is not always clear and understandable. And yet we believe that these forces are real and they are personal.
Yeah.
So understanding spiritual warfare now, how it influences our daily life, can be that when we realize that we are dealing with, with the things that have got force, things that can perform miracles, then we, of our own, we cannot handle. Even demons, even the devil. Right now, since the world was created, I think we've almost gone almost 6,000 years now. And
hello, Pastor.
When we are dealing with I want to clarify something. How old are we? Let me say, for example, myself. I'm in my 40s. And it was 6,000 years old. Imagine, in my 40 years of age, can I stand against a devil who is 6,000 years? years old. I can't. So therefore, the understanding of the spiritual warfare now, it influenced my daily prayer in such a way that I realizing that I'm dealing with a devil who is 6,000 years older than me.
Yeah.
It can only require me to require the strength, the power from Jesus, who is way older than the devil.
Mm.
You know, somebody whose age cannot be measured by years is the person that we want. You know, because you are dealing with somebody who is 6,000 years old.
Yes.
So I need to constantly now rely on the power of Jesus. I need to strengthen my prayer. I can't on my own stand. And in a zero, na Satan, I don't have any age. I can't stand in a wrestling bout to.
Hey.
That's all with the devil. He is way older than me by years. So we need to constantly rely on who knows our tomorrow yesterday. He's the only person who can fight on our behalf.
Amen. Amen. For sure. It's such a danger when we think we are strong enough and we think we are wise enough to get into the ring with the devil, recognizing that we're toddlers compared to him in terms of the amount of time that we've been on this earth.
Serious toddlers.
And if we're many times we're struggling to even know ourselves, we don't know our own limits. And he has had 6,000 years of practice of studying body language.
Imagine
studying your parents.
In fact, you and I right now, we are aspiring to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that we are aspiring to go to heaven where the devil already came from, where he already lived?
Hey.
So he knows everything.
Hey.
He knows everything. You know, he was already in the heaven that we desire to go.
Mm.
You know, he was already there. So of our own, we cannot do anything against the devil. We need to constantly rely on God through prayer.
Sure.
So a realization that we are in a spiritual warfare needs to strengthen our prayer life, needs to strengthen our reliance, day-to-day commitment to God, you know. Keeping the morning watch, keeping the evening watch every time. Because of our own, we cannot do anything.
Mm. Yeah, I think there are many of us who, if we look at our own prayer lives, that will be an indication that you're not realizing that you're in a spiritual warfare. And I'm speaking to myself as well. I know that I could do so much better with my prayer life. I'm not as diligent and consistent consistent as I should be. And I think that just shows that it's not in the forefront of the mind that you are in a spiritual warfare. This is not a matter of you're not doing God any favors when you pray. He's fine.
For sure. For sure. And yet the Bible even says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Vigilant.
Mm.
The Bible calls us to be vigilant.
Yeah.
And the vigilance is not a part-time thing.
Hey.
Vigilance is not a part-time thing, you know. When you look at the security personnel around the president, that's when you can understand sobriety. That's when you can understand vigilance. You know, no second, half a second, a quarter of a second is lost.
Mm.
Vigilance calls for a constant watch, a constant watchfulness. You know, he says, why should we do that? Because our enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is not seated. He is not lying.
Yeah.
And the devil, he cannot go on strike. The devil is ever walking, seeking him whom he may devour.
Yeah.
I like the aspect. I know it's a lesson of another day.
Mm-hmm.
We are given the devil as our enemy in that phase.
Yeah.
You know, many times we've made people to be our enemies because somebody snatched my husband, somebody did this to me at work.
Right.
This one is always my enemy. You know, subordinates are enemies of the bosses. Bosses are the enemies of subordinates, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But the true definition of an enemy that we are given by the Bible is of the devil.
Mm.
You know, so somebody this afternoon must realize this preparation day that in this world, yes, some people may allow themselves to fight the enemy that we are all supposed to be vigilant to is no one but the devil.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. So in conclusion, Pastor, how can we trust in God's promises of victory in a world that's filled with challenges, just one after the other? In fact, sometimes I saw a meme somewhere that says sometimes the challenges don't come one after the other. It's just many of them at the same time. So how do we trust in God's promises of victory in such a situation?
We trust in God with all our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And not our judgments.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded of Jesus' response to a young lawyer, mm-hmm. when he said to Jesus, "What must I do to be saved, to inherit the kingdom of heaven?"
Yeah.
You know, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 to that young man. He says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
all your mind, and all your soul." He repeated the all three times. Why did he say all three mm-hmm. times? It is because it is supposed to buff your heart, or alter your heart,
mm-hmm.
alter your mind, half your mind. So Jesus, so we can only trust God's promises of a victory in a world filled with challenges when we trust him with all our hearts and not our own judgment. I think it's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5, that says, trust in the Lord and lean not in your own judgments. And in all these things, it shall be so. So we need to trust God's promises of victory in a world filled with challenges. We need always to let him lead us. God will clear the road for us, you know, whenever we call upon him. Yeah. Whenever we face our Red Seas, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Mm. We need to trust in him and lean not in our own understanding.
Mm.
We need to respect the Lord and stay away from evil. You know, stay away from evil.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stay away from evil.
Yeah.
We need to submit to him. We need also to mind our associates every time. Mind whoever we associate with.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a person who strengthens my relationship with God? Is it a person who encourages me to follow God or otherwise? And above everything, we need to hold on.
Amen.
Even if letting go may appear a better option, we need always to hold on. A reward of salvation, an ultimate reward of salvation is promised. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles,
hey.
And they shall run and never tire. So we can only trust God through faith by always waiting upon his promises till the right time that he falls there.
Beautiful.
The word Adventist means the word Adventist actually explains those that are waiting.
Yes.
Waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And that is the best, the better way of trusting God's promises. In a world that is filled with challenges, look forward to his second coming,
yes.
because he said so.
Beautiful.
He said so. He said, I'm coming.
Yeah.
John 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled, but believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Mm.
I'll go to prepare a place for you. And if I'm done, I will come. So that where I am, you shall also be there. So we wait upon him. We wait upon this promise because he said so. And we know that he's going to fulfill it. And salvation is so. So salvation is for those that wait.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Pastor, thank you so much for the time that you've spent with us this week. It's really been a pleasure chatting with you, and we've definitely been blessed by these conversations. I pray that God will continue to bless you and your family. Would you close for us in prayer? Maybe just share any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us from just to round up the whole week, and then close for us in prayer.
The simple words that I can not knowing the way forward. You've been a Christian for so long. You've been a Christian for many years,
yeah.
or perhaps you've just been baptized, but there are walls that you are facing each and every time. And you are wondering, where does Jesus really care? Does Jesus really live? Where is my God when I'm struggling? I need to teach you two words of Hebrew that I want you to see. They simply say, Yilachem, lachem. That's Hebrew. Yilachem, lachem.
Mm.
It simply means the Lord will fight for me. So whatever things you are facing this afternoon, just say Yilachem, Lachem. Well, what does Yilachem, Lachem means? It means the Lord will fight for me.
Amen.
So Yilachem, Lachem. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for these privileges that you give us to partner with you to manage our affairs on earth. Thank you very much, Lord, for giving us this wonderful lesson or for the spiritual warfare that is being waged within us. Perhaps there's a brother, there's a sister who could be struggling. We, as the evil one, is proliferating a lot of desire in life, could be struggling with the dreams, could be struggling with a lot of things that are happening in life. Father, may you continue showing your face, continue showing yourself in us. Bless, Lord, studies, to the families, everyone who partook in this study throughout the week. Above everything, bless Bongi and all the presenters in the World Radio. Continue blessing their work as they partake in your work, O Lord. What you do this one by one. This is our humble prayer. In the mighty name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.